Good morning. We are recording this meeting. It is currently 7:42 on Friday, September 29th. Dr. King, after you call the meeting to order, we'll do a roll call and of staff and members and a recitation of the mission statement, and then the meeting will be yours.
Great. Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. Calling to order.
Good morning. We are recording this meeting. It is currently 7:42 on Friday, September 29th. Dr. King, after you call the meeting to order, we'll do a roll call and of staff and members and a recitation of the mission statement, and then the meeting will be yours.
Great. Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. Calling to order the regular session meeting for the Arizona PT Board for September 29, 2023.
Thank you. Dr. King.
Present.
Dr. Bustillo.
Present.
Mr. Leone.
Present.
Mr. Greer.
Present.
Mr. Barton. And staff, Ms. Cardoza.
Present.
Ms. Crowley. Ms. Richardson.
Present.
And my name is Judy Chepius. Let the record show that Mr. Barton and Ms. Crowley are absent today. And Dr. Bustillo, if you will take the honors of reciting the mission statement.
The mission of the Arizona State Board of Physical Therapy is to protect the public from the incompetent, unprofessional, and unlawful practice of physical therapy. The Arizona Physical Therapy Practice Act establishes the standards for the practice of physical therapy, continuing competence and testing, and defines the scope and limitations of practice. The board licenses and certifies qualified applicants as physical therapists and physical therapist assistants, and receives, investigates, and adjudicates complaints against licensees and certificate holders.
Thank you. Dr. King, meeting is yours.
Thank you. Thank you, Karen. First on our agenda is to review and approve the minutes from our prior month's meeting. So first up is the regular session meeting minutes from August 22nd, 2023. Were there any edits or corrections that were needed? Okay, so I move that we approve the regular session minutes from the August 2022
2022-2023
meeting.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the August 22nd, 2023 regular session meeting minutes. Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
That motion passes.
Thank you. And then next we have the special session that the board held on that same day, August 22, 2023. Any corrections or edits to those minutes?
I move to accept those minutes for the special session.
Second.
Great.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the August 22, 2023 special session meeting minutes. Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo.
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
That motion passes.
At this point, we would go into four, but Judy, do we have limitations on staff availability for the rest of the meeting that we need to reorder the agenda for, or should I continue?
We absolutely do. I might suggest our investigator has a conflict and must leave at about 11:15. So,
okay. So then if it's okay with the board, I want to reorder the agenda to make sure that we cover everything that we would need the board investigator for, which means then if you are on the agenda for your application for ADA accommodations, we are going to move you a little bit later in the agenda so that we can move things up to make sure our investigator is with us. So then let's then move to the consent agenda item number 5. Is that okay with everyone? Okay. So, a consent agenda. Does anyone want to pull anything out of the consent agenda to discuss separately?
This is Mr. Greer. I move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Great. Okay. Judy, we have a motion and a second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda, which encompasses items in 5A, 5B, and 5C. Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
That motion passes.
Thank you. It looks like we have an informal hearing for 9 a.m., so we're going to move past that and wait until 9. So that moves us on the agenda then to agenda number 9, complaints. Is that okay that we go there? Okay. So first on the agenda for agenda number 9 is 9A, 2242, Heather Goff.
Good morning, members of the board, and thank you for accommodating my meeting conflict this morning. I would like to just preface the next actual three cases, so 2242, 43, and 44, all stemmed from a case that you adjudicated last fall, 2117 Braylon Lane. So collectively, these PTAs were providing home health services to a medically complex, vulnerable pediatric patient population in the home health setting. So they were all working under general supervision. When I did my investigation, two of the cases, the chart review, typically what I do is I request additional records to determine the frequency with which deficiencies are happening, because in the Braylon Lane case, there may have only been one case to really evaluate the deficiencies in these particular follow-up cases. But it was limited in this matter because the ownership for the practice with which this occurred changed in January of this year. And so when I requested additional records, the new owner was having a difficult time trying to find the archived records. And they're still having a difficult time because the previous owner apparently has some lock on the archived materials. So what you see is what I had available to me. I was able to get some records, but in two of the cases, if you would like additional medical record review, it may take some time to obtain those records. That's more of an FYI than anything else. So moving on to case 2242, Heather Goff, PTA. It was alleged that she engaged in the evaluation and initiation of a new treatment intervention for patients that had a new injury or new findings. She treated patients beyond the third visit under general supervision. She created modified treatment programs and exercises and did not routinely consult with her supervising PT while treating this patient population. She did receive a copy of the draft investigative report but did not provide a supplemental written response. And the potential violation that was cited in the investigation is ARS 32-2044-5, engaging in the performance of substandard care by physical therapist assistant, including exceeding the authority to perform tasks selected and delegated by the supervising licensee, regardless of whether actual injury to the patient is established. This case is for your review.
Thank you. Is Ms. Goff on the call with us?
He emailed me yesterday and asked if she had to be on the call and never really committed to me one way or the other if she was going to participate. So I don't know. I don't see her on the attendee list.
Okay. She didn't respond to the invitation.
Okay. Board members, do you have any thoughts or feelings about action moving forward for this particular case?
I would like to ask her some questions. I guess I feel like we should turn this into an informal hearing.
Okay. So there's a motion to move this to an informal hearing?
I'd second
that. Okay.
With regard to discussion of the motion, I don't necessarily disagree. In reviewing all three of these cases, I wonder where the fault really lies. Was it lies with the organization or with the licensee? And I know we can't really hold the organization responsible, but I am disappointed in the way the organization appeared to conduct its business.
Absolutely. So with a motion and a second to move this case to an informal hearing, any other discussion? Okay.
Now, in this particular case, there were several medical records that I was able to obtain and review. Do you feel like you have, do you feel like you need additional medical records, or do you feel like what you have with additional conversation with Ms. Goff would be enough?
I think it's enough, Mindy. Right. Thank you.
Agree.
Yeah, I feel like it gives a good amount of documentation to know what her habits were.
Okay, thank you.
Are you ready for the vote?
Yes, ma'am.
It's been moved and seconded to move case 2242 Heather Goff PTA to an informal hearing. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Thank you. Next up, we have case number 2243, initial review for Ryan Augustin, PTA.
And I know that she was on earlier. Ms. Augustin, are you on the call?
Yes, I am.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Dr. King, prior to the previous initial review, we didn't go through the script. Would you like to go through the script for the initial review for those remaining on the call?
Yes, absolutely. Let me just pull that up really quick. So I'll just read a little bit about, just to help those on the call understand what happens in initial review, what some of the options are for the board, so that you're aware of our process. So these are this is the time and the place scheduled for the board's initial review of complaints. We have several on our agenda today. The matters will be heard by the board pursuant of its authority, ARS 322045. For everyone's benefit, I just want to provide a brief summary of how we conduct an initial review. I'll first begin with introductions. My name is Dr. Kelly King. I'm the board president. And then I'll just ask the other board members to please introduce yourselves.
Karen Bustillo, Board Vice President, Professional Member.
Giovanni Leone, Board Secretary, Professional Member.
Joshua Greer, Public Member.
Okay. For those participating in the initial review, please be aware that we have read all of the materials submitted, and if at any time it's necessary to refer to a patient, please use initials only. In each case, the board will hear first a brief summary of the investigative report from our investigator. Once she is done, the board will ask the complainant, if there is one, if they would like to address the board, and as well as the professional, or if you're represented by an attorney, if you would like to do the same. In order to give everyone the same opportunity to address the board, we ask that you speak and not take time repeating information that we already have and we've already reviewed. You'll be given the same amount of time to address the board that it took to present it by our investigator, probably 5 minutes or so. Please keep in mind that this is not the time or the place for a complainant to and the professional to address each other. Once the board concludes its discussion with the parties, it will move into deliberations. While the parties are free to stay and listen to the deliberations, we ask that you respect the fact that we are now discussing the case amongst ourselves and request that you not interrupt the process. The board's options include, but are not limited to, dismissing the complaint, taking a non-disciplinary action, such as issuing an advisory letter or an order for continuing education, offering a professional consent agreement, or requesting that the professional participate in an informal hearing or remanding the matter to a formal hearing. Before we call the first case, I want to advise everyone that the initial reviews are audio recorded. And then as a reminder, As a reminder to us as the board, these are initial reviews. If you feel like you have enough information to make a determination on the case, then we'll do so here. If you feel like you need a number of additional information or there's substantive questions, I would encourage us that we move this to an informal hearing. Okay, so Mindy, do you mind providing for us a brief summary, please, of case 2243 by Ms.
Agustin? Of course. It's alleged that Ms. Agustin treated patients beyond the third visit under general supervision. She inconsistently documented her supervising physical therapist. She created and modified treatment programs and exercises and did not routinely consult with her supervising PT while treating a vulnerable patient population. Of note, she had no experience treating this patient population and received no clinical training during her tenure. She did receive a copy of the draft investigative report and responded that she would not be submitting a supplemental written response, and she was cited for ARS 3220445, engaging in the performance of substandard care by a physical therapist assistant. This case is for your review.
Thank you. Ms. Agustin, do you have any remarks you'd like to make before we start asking you questions?
In addition to the report that I had given Mindy, I have no additional things to say.
Thank you. Okay. Board members, do you have any questions for Ms. Agustin?
Ms. Agustin, what's your typical process when you go in to treat a patient in regard to talking with your supervising therapist?
In regards to working in the home health PEDS population, what I would do routinely was look at their previous notes as to whoever saw them. I would look through their DVD documentation that usually had their evaluation on there as well. If there was anything that I was confused on, I would try to reach out to whoever the supervising PT was if they were available.
Did they routinely get back to you within the time period they're supposed to whenever you did contact them?
Routinely, no.
And in that case, what was typically your follow-up to that?
My follow-up, if they had already been treated prior to, I would try to remain as similar to the treatment that they had completed prior. If the child wasn't responding well, I would try to modify the best I could. But otherwise, it all honestly depended on the child and the day on how the treatment went.
Thank you.
Ms. Agustin, have you taken CEUs or any education around treating this very specialized population of pediatrics?
In regards to pediatrics, the most CEs I've completed were on through MedBridge. I had no in-person ones.
Can you tell me a little bit about the CEUs you took through MedBridge for pediatrics?
They were pretty straightforward. It was mostly just exercise-based and unfortunately not towards the special needs population. It was more as to like a recovering younger athlete.
And how many patients on your caseload did you have that actually met that description, athletes?
With this population, maybe like one or two the entire time that I was there.
Okay. And you worked there for 3 years?
Around two.
So how did you create what you were going to do with each patient each time you saw them?
So generally, I would go off of what the evaluation said. So if there was some sort of strength deficit, just working on that. Most of the children that I worked with, their biggest issues were mostly just like endurance and just strength. And so honestly, any way that I could get them moving, depending on how they were responding that day.
Okay. And so I think you responded that you would review the notes for whoever saw the patient last and called PT only if you had questions. How often was it that the patients that you were seeing had multiple people on their cases, like that were working with them?
Pretty consistently. The turnover with the company itself was pretty high. And so the supervising PTs were continuously changing. As for the PTAs, it was the same thing as well. Very high turnover. And so there's pretty inconsistent like team working with a particular child on a regular basis. There are a few cases where there was able to be a PT and PTA per patient. But there's a lot of turnover, and also in regards to supervisory visits, different PTs would do them sometimes, as to whoever was available to switch schedules at that time.
And what was your understanding of how frequently the PT visit needed to occur with home health?
So it wasn't until towards the end of my time with the company that I found out the importance of the every third, or every, like I would see them for three and then the fourth would be the supervising visit. That was never communicated to me early on. What was communicated to me by the company was that we were to have a scheduler that would be in charge of adjusting our schedule as needed. And that wasn't our concern. They would just be, our schedule swapped with another PT when necessary.
Was there ever a time that you would have decided to cancel or not treat the patient because you weren't able to connect with the PT and weren't comfortable with how the patient was doing or where they were or had there been an injury? Did you cancel?
There were canceled, no.
Okay, so if the patient had had an injury or something and you couldn't get hold of the PT, you would most likely continue to see the patient that day, just modify it.
Exactly.
Are you currently treating pediatrics now?
No, I'm not.
Are you working with adults?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This is Karen Bustia. I just want to clarify about your scheduling. Were you given a typical schedule, but you were able to modify it slightly if you felt that the PT needed to see the child?
So the schedule that we were given different types of schedulers. With certain ones, we weren't allowed to move the blocks themselves. But let's say if I were to go in, I could try to communicate with the scheduler to adjust, yes.
But that didn't happen routinely. You were given a schedule that you typically followed.
Yes.
Okay. And while you were working in the home health agency, is there a reason that you weren't aware of the every fourth visit rule to be seen by a PT?
Sorry, my previous company, I worked in outpatient orthopedic where there's always the PT on site. So if progress notes and follow-ups were required, our documentation system just prompted it. And so it happened that way. So when I transferred into the home health setting, I was under the understanding that the scheduler were to be the one in charge of adjusting that for me. So I wasn't aware of the three-visit rule until towards the end of my time.
What did you do when you became aware of the three-visit rule?
At that point, I would communicate with the scheduler to switch, or we would just cancel that patient. But that wasn't until the end of my time with the company.
Are you working in home health now?
No, I'm not. I'm working in outpatient.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about your conversations with your supervising PT now in the setting you're in.
Currently where I'm at, there are three PTs and two PTAs, myself being one of them. So there's always a PT on staff. My clinic director is part-time here and part-time at a different clinic. But so my supervising PT, unusual, are staggered. So the way the schedules work, they alternate schedules. So there's always a PT on staff with me. The communication has really been great. They're always here, always useful.
Do you discuss your patients each day before you see them with supervising PT?
Pretty regularly. Since they are here on, like, in office with me. Communication is pretty open. Like, if there's a misunderstanding or if there's something that needs clarification, it's there. But for the most part, most of our patients, most of them are about 2 to 3 times a week. And so one visit is with me, usually one visit was with the PT. We try to alternate as often as possible. So it's pretty consistent care provided by both.
Do you know who your supervising PT is at any moment for any patient right now?
Yes.
How do you know that?
Through our documentation system and just knowing the patients and who about, like, I witness their evaluations while they're here in the clinic as well.
So are you switching then supervising therapists based on who did the eval, not necessarily who, like, if the person who did the eval is not in the office that day, are you aware of who your supervising therapist would be for that day, even though they didn't see that patient?
Yes.
Okay.
So I guess my follow-up question to that would be then, how do you document that?
So the way that our system is set up, once I finish my part of the note, I send it off to be signed off by a PT. So all of my visits are signed off by the supervising PT. So if the person who did the evaluation is here while I treated that patient, I would send the note off to them to review and sign off on. Otherwise, I would send it to whichever PT is currently on site with me.
So it's just the signature that states who your supervisor is for that patient.
When sending off on the note, yeah.
Okay. So are you aware that you should have a statement in your note that you conversed with the physical therapist prior to seeing that patient, and that you document that PT's name and license number as part of your note?
Yes. So the way that our documentation system is set up is once I were to select the PT's name, it puts in their license number and all that information for me.
Was it put in a statement as well that you had had a conversation with them prior to treatment about?
Yes,
the
if I
care.
Oh, I'm sorry, I cut you off. What was the last part?
Does it put anything into the system about the conversation you had with the PT about the patient's care?
If I were to change or modify anything from what the PT had said, yes, that is in there. But if it's like the care is continuous from what was originally discussed in the plan of care, then no, I don't add the additional comment.
What documentation software do you use?
It's through ATI Physical Therapy. It's their EMR system. I'm sorry?
They have their own documentation software?
Yes.
Are there any other questions for Ryan? Okay. Ryan, at this point, the board is going into deliberations. Thank you for answering our questions. We will talk about any forward movement for this case. And you're welcome to, of course, stay and listen, but just ask that you not interrupt us.
Yes, thank you.
Of course, thank you. What are your thoughts? We have one allegation of substandard care.
I feel like there's definitely a lack of understanding of the statutes at this point. I know she's not working in the pediatric, home health field anymore, but you know, that's definitely something that you have to take that responsibility on to know what those rules are when you're treating in that specific area. And then as far as the area that she's working in now, again, just in terms of what's required of her with documentation, I feel like there's just not a clear understanding of that.
I tend to agree. I think the allegation can be proven. I think this is a case that cries for some continuing education. I'll go back to my statement on the other case. I think this, a lot of the problems with this were institutional. Yes, that doesn't excuse the licensee. I understand that. But it does mitigate, I think, a little bit the conduct here. But, you know, she wasn't following the law. The excuse for not following the law wasn't the expectations of the company. In fact, she was told that, oh, don't worry, we'll take care of it. So I think this is a continuing education case. I don't really have any strong feelings on what it is, but I was thinking somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 to 6 hours in documentation and supervision.
Yeah, I agree with you, Josh. I think some of the answers to her questions don't make me feel comfortable that she has any better understanding, honestly, of supervision in the outpatient setting as she actually did in home health. And, you know, she checks a box that says maybe she talked to the PT, maybe she didn't. And so I am with you. I think that my concern is that she doesn't really have a good understanding of the rules and laws around her practice as a PTA in supervision and documentation. So I'm with you. I want to give her the benefit of the doubt, certainly. But it sounds like that she had a lot, great deal of trust in her employer, and they ran a really questionable practice. Nonetheless, though, now she's in a different setting and not necessarily a lot stronger in communicating with her PT on every patient, not just when she has questions. Right. So I'm with you. I agree that she's got a great opportunity for education.
Go ahead, Karen.
Oh, okay. I'm okay with this being non-disciplinary. I just have this feeling that the AZ law exam wouldn't be the worst thing in the world either. However, as long as we can get a continuing education class that includes documentation and supervision, I can probably live with that, because I agree. I still feel there's not a strong understanding about what her responsibilities are with regard to supervision.
Mm-hmm. My only worry with that, with it being only continuing education, is the courses are kind of geared towards anyone, any state. It's not specific to any specific statutes. And I really would like for her to have a good understanding of what our statutes are. So that's the only reason that I would lean more towards, you know, taking the jurisprudence, which I know is a disciplinary action. But I just feel like, and this is how I feel as a PTA, it's my job to protect my license, not and that's something that I want her to definitely have that mindset moving forward.
Yeah. And that's how I was feeling as well, Giovanni. So I appreciate you saying that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and along those same lines too, Giovanni, and I get it. You know, just the freedom that she's shared with us in modifying plans of care and treating patients even when they had a change of status, and, you know, just the general understanding of the relationship between the PT and PTA when not to see a patient. She's young in her practice, and so right now she's in orthopedics. Who knows where she'll end up afterwards, but it doesn't matter what setting you're in. The supervision and the communication and partnering is the same, regardless of home health versus outpatient, right?
Yeah.
And it seems like she's like, well, in home health, we did it this way, but now that I'm an outpatient, you know, and no, it's the same. And so I think that that's a really, really important to drive home for her, and that she owns her certificate, not the employer. Okay, so we've had discussion about potentially jurisprudence exam, which we know is a disciplinary action. We've had discussion about CEUs. I'd be much more comfortable with 6 hours than 3. I think this is a pretty significant learning opportunity for her, which is non-disciplinary. So,
Mr. Harris, am I correct that in order to do discipline, we'd have to invite her back for an informal hearing? You're muted.
I think we can offer a consent agreement.
What's that?
You are correct. And what we could do is offer, you'd have to adopt findings of facts and a conclusion of law, offer her a consent agreement. You could give her a period of time in which to accept it. And if not accept it, then invite her in for an informal hearing.
Thank you.
Well, I will move that we adopt the findings of fact and conclusions of law outlined in the investigative report.
Second. Okay.
I go back to, I think this is non-disciplinary, and so I understand why we're doing it, but I would deny the motion. I'm going to vote no on the motion. Just, I think the more important, the more appropriate motion would be some kind of non-disciplinary conduct. And again, I'm not going to belabor the point. The reason I believe this way is I think this is a more institutional problem that is capable of being corrected with continuing education.
Thanks, Josh. So we have a motion and a second to adopt the findings of fact and conclusions of law. Any further discussion? Okay, we'll call the vote.
It's been moved and seconded to adopt all of the allegations as set forth in the investigative report as findings of fact and conclusions of law for case 2243, Ryan Augustin, PTA. Dr. King?
No.
Dr. Basile?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
No.
That motion, does a tie pass, Mr. Harris? Mr. Harris, you're muted.
Thank you. Can you refresh my memory on what the vote was?
To adopt the allegations set forth in the investigative report as findings of fact and conclusions of law.
Right, but what the vote was.
Oh, I'm sorry, 2-2.
Yeah, so the motion fails.
Motion fails, okay, thank you.
I would move that we issue a non-disciplinary order for continuing education requiring licensee to perform 3 hours of continuing education in the area of record keeping, 3 hours in the area of supervision. These hours should be conducted Arizona specific, and if that's not available, at least address the provisions of the Model Practice Act.
Okay, second. For discussion. So we have 6 hours total, 3 hours of documentation, 3 hours of supervision, specific to Arizona, if at all possible. But including the Model Practice Act.
And Mr. Greer, members of the board, did we want to require that be completed within a certain time frame?
Yeah, completed within 6 months. Thank you, Mr. Harris.
Okay. So let's, are there any discussion? Okay, let's call a vote.
Bear with me just 1 second, please.
clear to let her out.
Okay, it has been moved and seconded to issue a non-disciplinary order to include continuing education, which shall be completed in 6 months. The courses must be pre-approved and may be completed online. They do not count towards renewal requirements. The continuing education shall be completed in the areas of record keeping for a minimum of 3 hours and supervision for a minimum of 3 hours, specific to Arizona rules or the Model Practice Act. Arizona laws and rules or the Model Practice Act. Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
That motion passes.
Thank you. And the board staff will get in touch with you. I really hope that you learn a lot about your practice and supervision in the state of Arizona in your education. If you feel like you need more, I hope you'll take it on yourself to learn more and do more to make sure we don't see you again.
Yes, I will. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome. Okay, next on the agenda, let's see how close are we to nine. Okay, next on the agenda is case 2244, Manuela Kashaba, PTA. Initial review. Is Manuela Kashaba on the call with us?
I didn't hear back from her if she was attending or not going to attend, so.
Okay.
So the summary for Ms. Kashaba is that in the same practice, she treated patients beyond the third visit under general supervision. She created a modified treatment and did not routinely consult with her supervising PT while treating this vulnerable patient population. She had no experience treating the pediatric patient population and stated that she had received no clinical training during her tenure there. She was provided an opportunity to receive a copy of the draft investigative report but did not request a copy. And she was also cited for 3220445, engaging in the performance of substandard care by physical therapist assistant, including exceeding the authority to perform tasks selected and delegated by the supervising licensee, regardless of whether actual injury to the patient is established. This case is for your review.
Thank you. So she's not here. I would like to speak with her, so I'm going to make a motion that we move this to an informal hearing.
Okay. Second.
Okay. Who seconded that one?
Me and Karen.
Okay. Pick one.
Do you have one? I was on mute.
Okay.
Okay.
It's been moved and seconded for case 2244, Manuela Kashaba, PTA, to be moved to an informal hearing. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
That motion passes.
And can I ask if the board is going to want to request additional records be reviewed?
Or do you feel like that's necessary for me?
Okay.
I think I'm okay with what we have.
Okay.
Me too.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think we can go from there if we...
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. All right, we are at item number 9D, initial review, case number 2330, Jitin Dungarani, PT. Is Dr. Dungarani on the call with us?
I believe this
yes. Good counsel. Morning, President and members of the board. Leah Shacker, together with Mr. Dungarani, who's present.
Good morning. Okay. I'm not sure if you were on before when I read the script of how we do an initial review. We'll first receive a brief overview from our investigator and then give you an opportunity to address the board.
And I don't believe the patient is on the the meeting today, she had indicated she didn't believe she could make it this morning.
Okay, so please refer to the patient if you're speaking of the patient by just initials only.
So this is case 2330. It was opened after review of complaint from a patient CA. CA alleged that Dr. Dungarani injured her right knee when he completed a, quote, grind test, end quote, during her initial evaluation on 3/27/23. Dr. Dungarani received a copy of the investigative report and provided a written response, which was included in your materials as Exhibit 4. The potential violations cited in the investigative report include ARS 32-2044, engaging the performance of substandard care by a physical therapist, due to a deliberate or negligent act or failure to act, regardless of whether actual injury to the patient is established. ARS 32-2044-13, charging unreasonable or fraudulent fees for services performed or not performed. And ARS 32-2044-20, failing to maintain adequate patient records. And also as it relates to R424-304, adequate patient records. This case is for your review.
Thank you. Dr. Dungarani or counsel, would you like to address the board, please?
Yes, thank you, members of the board. So as stated by Ms. Richardson, this case came to you from the patient CA alleging that he performed a grind test on her during the initial evaluation. That test didn't happen, which is why it is not documented. The majority of the issues in this case relate to Dr. Dungarani's documentation rather than the treatment itself. Dr. Dungarani recognizes some of the deficiencies with his charting in this case. It does not reflect his typical charting practices. Unfortunately, when this patient came, she had a lot of complaints and she was a little bit difficult for Dr. Dungarani to work with. He was trying to listen to all of her complaints and they spend a lot of time talking about the process and how he would not be able to address all of her complaints at that initial visit. His intention was to obtain a more detailed assessment and plan at the subsequent visit, but she never followed up for that treatment. The examination itself was limited, and he advised her that he could not perform treatment for all of her complaints or even an assessment for all of her complaints at that singular patient visit. The treatment that he did do was documented. She had limitations in lumbar range of motion, tightness in the hamstrings bilaterally, and pain with straight leg raise bilaterally, and he performed oswestry. She was sort of upset throughout the appointment. She didn't feel like things were being done to her liking, but the patellar knee grind test was not performed and not documented. I think one thing that was missing from the investigation was that this patient has made false allegations previously against other providers claiming that she was assaulted and abused and has filed complaints, civil litigation in that vein that has been dismissed. As far as the allegation of inadequate discharge, she called and spoke with Dr. Dungarani and self-discharged because she was upset with the treatment that she received. It wasn't to her liking, but that was a self-discharge. So Dr. Dungarani did not feel the need to continue to follow up with her. As far as the allegation of unreasonable or fraudulent fees, the activities were performed. They were the same as those done in the assessment, just additional activities of the same type were done. Dr. Dungarani, as a professional courtesy, did elect to refund the patient her costs, which was done on August 11th. In sum, this really comes down to documentation issues. Dr. Dungarani has already taken steps to improve his documentation. He is using an AI tool for improving the documentation and peer-to-peer review. He does have SOAP templates using WebPT EMR. We're asking that the case be dismissed. Thank you.
Thank you. Board members, any questions for Dr. Dungarani?
Dr. Dungarani, how long are your initial evaluation, or I should ask more specifically, how long was the initial evaluation for this specific patient?
It was about 35 minutes.
About 45 minutes?
35 minutes of time. 35.
Oh, 35 minutes. Okay. Within that time frame, I mean, did you discuss goals with her? Did you have a chance to assess any of her conditions, really?
Not other than her lower back.
Not other than her lower back?
Correct.
Okay. That's the only question I have for now.
I guess my biggest question is, why did the patient feel that you did a grind test on her knee?
That is, I'm not 100% sure. When I performed straight leg raise, she did complain of, you know, tightness in the hamstrings, and I felt the same. Other than that, I did not have any hands-on, especially when it was concerned to her lower extremities.
Okay. Thank you.
Dr. Dungarani, I have a couple questions for you, please. I'm looking at the evaluation documentation. It looks like she presented with several areas of pain, and you chose low back. Can you just talk us through how you chose which one you were going to address?
I specifically asked patient as to which one is the most problem that she's having for that day, or she wanted to address, you know, which is was the lower back pain, and that's how I chose to go with the lower back pain. However, when she complained about her leg, ankle issues, and other balance issues, they were kind of concerning to me, and I did not choose to, you know, evaluate her because she came with ankle brace, and I did not have orders as to what was going on, and she had said that she injured her ankle not too long ago. So I wasn't sure as to what kind of protocol that I should follow, what kind of injury she had. So I did explain that to her that I'm, you know, until I have some clarification from the doctor, I would not be able to assess that. And that goes into balance activity as well as, you know, I did not want to do anything as far as her ankle was concerned.
Thank you. I'm looking further then into your interpretation and assessment. Can you help us understand what 61 to 80% crippled means?
Yes. So I performed a modified Oswestry disability index, and based on the outcome of the questions, the 10 questions that I asked, she had, you know, chosen the answers accordingly as the options that are in the test. And the total score comes out to 33 out of 50, which means that she has a limitations of 66% of those given activities and a questionnaire. And the interpretation to that, if it is 61 to 80%, then it would come as crippled. So that is something that is within the test, and it comes out automatically.
Okay. So connecting the parts of the chart, I'm not seeing any goals regarding to your findings. Can you tell us at what point in completing an evaluation do you actually write goals for a patient?
So I do write goals right, you know, during the evaluation or as soon as I'm done with the patient and right after. So it's always discussed with the patient as far as my first 3 to 5 questions would be, what is your goal? So that's my first thing that I want to, you know, attend to. And then within the evaluation, whatever findings that I have, then I would create short-term versus long-term goals. And you are correct that this evaluation does not have problems and goals. And part of the reason, one reason was I saw the patient on March 27th, and I believe 2 or 3 days later, that's when patient called and canceled all her appointments. And I completed the evaluation or the note of the evaluation after that. And that was my part as to, you know, there was no need of further care. And I did not create goals or any type of goals. And I completed the evaluation without that, just because knowing that patient was not returning for her care.
What was those time frames one more time? So you saw the patient on March what?
March 27th.
March 27th, and she called and canceled her appointments when?
I have to, you know,
The discharge date I have April 3rd. Is that the same day she called?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Is that pretty typical that it takes a week for you to get an eval done?
No. So in this case, just because the evaluation took longer and she had multiple problems, I wanted to kind of do an addendum once patient returns, and I wanted to go in detail with her issues and limitations that she was having. It's not typical for me to complete the evaluation note longer than 24 hours or 48 hours the most.
Okay.
This is Mr. Greer. What therapeutic activity was performed?
So the therapeutic activities that I performed was lumbar range of motion exercises, as well as lower extremity active range of motion exercises, which it had not specified, or to my point, it's not specified in here. But it was the same thing during. So usually when I perform evaluation, most of the times I also have the patient do similar activities with the repetitions, and that's what happened with this patient. And it is under objective findings and additional comments, but there were the same activities that was performed and billed as therapy activities.
Do you use a paper flow sheet for exercises, or is it typically electronic?
It is electronic.
Okay. So, are you doing repeated motions as part of your evaluation? Is that like similar to like a McKenzie model or something?
Yes, it depends, of course, person to person as to if they're able to tolerate or not. And some evaluation and some treatments are within the evaluation as to if I'm doing something and if the pain is getting better with the motion, then I would have them repeat that again as part of evaluation. And then if they're doing the similar activity, then I would kind of go into treatment more for a little bit and then go back to the evaluation.
Right. Okay. So what makes that an activity and not an exercise?
I was trying to do the lumbar range of motion and she had difficulty, getting up from lower surface or whatnot. So trying to do the range of motion exercise, getting into the motion to perform the functional activity. That was the sole reason that I, consider that as a therapeutic activity.
And how many times would you have her do that?
I believe she performed that about 8 to 10 times.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Any other questions for Dr. Dungarani? Okay, so at this point, Dr. Dungarani, we are going to move into deliberations. Thank you for answering questions. Just ask that you not interrupt our process as we discuss the case.
Hello? Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
Hi. Is this, who is this?
This is Kendra, PA. Do I get to have a say or do I get to respond?
Yes, we had called for you earlier and did not know you were here. You didn't respond. So you've now joined the meetings, CA?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I've been here. I just didn't hear the call.
Okay. All right. So would you like to very briefly address the board, please?
Yes, I would like to. Mr. Dungarani had, I had filed a complaint with my insurance company. And by the way, the other complaint that his, I guess, attorney mentioned was regarding an MRI technician who did not allow me to wear or did not give me earplugs during an MRI, which led to tinnitus. I have never filed a complaint against a physical therapist before. Mr. Dungarani did do what he called a grind test. I had never heard of it before, wherein he slammed his palm down on my kneecap, turned his palm, and when I screamed, he said, "This is proof that you do not have cartilage under your knee." And it was after I saw him that I had to go to urgent care and was diagnosed with water under the kneecap and hyperextension injury. Prior to that, I only had a chronic condition diagnosed by Dr. Roger McCoy as patellar tracking issues. Furthermore, and I don't know if this would have anything to do with any of that, but he wanted to do, he wanted me to come in every single day for physical therapy. And when I told him I could only do 2 days a week and that's all I've ever done, because I have needed therapy on and off for my knee for about 20 years and then also lately for my neck and back, he said he wanted me to come in every day. I said I've never come in more than 2 days a week. And I've had quite a bit of physical therapy for these things. And at that point, he said he would like to have the names and phone numbers of my former physical therapists so he could call them and discuss with them that they should have had me in every day. I think it's not reasonable to have me come in every day. So I just wanted to address that as well. And the fact that I have never heard of a grind test before, before he did that to me.
Thank you.
Also, I just wanted to say I have been trained and worked as a masseuse. And two of the things that we learned is never put pressure on somebody's joint. And also he forced a stretch on me when he had me, stretch my legs up. He said he thought that I could stretch more. And we have learned to never do that to somebody. And I have gone to therapists, physical therapists at Spooner and, outpatient therapy at Honor Health and Chandler Regional. And I have never had a physical therapist, stretch me without my prior permission and without checking in. Is this okay with you? Is this comfortable? Am I going too far? I have never been caught by surprise with somebody's actions before. I have always had physical therapists respect my, I guess, my physical boundaries.
Thank you. At any time when he was working with you, did he ask you or did you let him know that something was uncomfortable?
I only let him know when I screamed. That hurt. That hurt really bad.
And that was regarding your knee?
That was regarding my knee. And then that was again regarding when he had me stretch my leg up. He said, "I think you could go further." And I said, "No, I don't think I can." And then he stretched me back further. And then I yelled, "That really hurt." And again, I've never had a physical therapist do that before. They've always said, "Is it okay if I try to stretch you more or something like that? And let me know if it's too far." And then they do whatever they do slowly and gently. I've never had somebody just decide to slam their palm of their hand down on my kneecap or stretch me further without my permission and just to do a sudden quick stretch instead of a slow gradual while checking with me all along if it's okay.
Thank you. If the board has questions for you, are you okay to answer them?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And Dr. King, if we would have an opportunity to respond to the complainant as well.
Yes, toward the end we'll do that. So we'll pull back out of the deliberations and continue to discuss. Board members, do you have any questions at all for patient CA? Okay. Dr. Dungarani, do you have a response?
I'll just start by addressing, just for clarification, I did not intend to suggest that this complainant had filed a complaint previously against any physical therapist, but against an MRI tech claiming that that MRI tech had assaulted her. And we do have copies of that complaint as well. This did not happen. Dr. Dungarani did not slam his knee down and perform a grind test on this patient. I know she's saying that there are records that are out there. I think we would need an opportunity, if this board is inclined to take action based on those statements, to see a copy of these additional records that are claiming that, you know, these diagnoses were made subsequent to her treatment with Dr. Dungarani. In his 10 years of practice, he's never had a board complaint. He is respectful with his patients during treatment. He did not have any issues with her screaming or saying that there was, you know, extensive stretching or anything to that effect during the treatment that he was performing with her. As far as the claim that Dr. Dungarani wanted her to come back. Again, this was a patient who was raising a number of issues, and he wanted to have a full assessment of those issues and what she could perform. So he felt that it was prudent to have her return for additional assessment and treatment of those various issues, as well as some continuity of care to see what the prior treating providers had done for her. So that's why he was wanting to ask for records from prior physical therapists so that he could have continuity of care. And I'll let Dr. Dungarani address any of these other allegations.
One of the allegations, which is that I had asked CA to come in every day, that was more based on that she had come in with multiple problems. And if I'm addressing one or the two issues, then I needed more time to address those things. So I was not doing multiple things at the same time. And that was one of the reasons that I had asked that if we want to do this, either we can go case by case. And if we want to do everything together, then we may need additional appointments and not just two times a week or three times a week. The groin test allegation that I did not perform groin test. The only thing that I performed was SLR and my, every time I assess patient, I always go to my, as if I'm just talking to myself and informing the patient at the same time as to, okay, can I have you please lay down? We're gonna perform this test and this is how we're gonna do it. And I'm always proceeding with caution and I'm always asking patient, is this okay? Is this fine? And when they say this is stretching enough, then I would hold for a little bit. If I'm doing a stretch, I'm checking something with neurological problem or what have you. So grind test was not performed. The only test was performed in that manner was SLR. And at that point, I did have my one of the hand on the knee. But again, no additional or excessive pressure was applied. And patient did mention that she is feeling enough stretch, but no screaming or as to this is enough and you're going beyond or whatnot. None of those things happen.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for the complainant or Dr. John Mary?
I have one question for CA. CA, did you specify during the evaluation that you did want to be seen for all of the conditions that were specified?
I told Mr. Zungarani that usually when I have gone to other physical therapists, they will pick one or maybe neck and back and work on that until it's better, and then work on maybe my knee, and then separately at another time the vestibular, and that I felt more comfortable with that than to come in one day for my neck, another day for my back, another day for my knee, another day for vestibular, so that I'm coming every day of the week. I told him I did not feel comfortable with that, and that's when he said he wanted to speak to my other physical therapist because he felt that their way of doing things was wrong, that he felt it was better to do all of it together with me coming in every day.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Okay. So we'll move into deliberations again. Thank you, Dr. Dungarani and CA. As the board discusses the case, we just ask that you not interrupt our discussion. Please. Okay. Board members, what are your thoughts? We have a couple of things I think to discuss and consider.
So I guess I feel like this is a complex patient with multiple issues, and you know, and it does sound like it was established that, you know, PT would look at the low back first, and that seems to be what happened. Subsequently, however, I feel like the documentation of that encounter was inadequate to really address what the full complement of an initial evaluation note. I look at this truthfully really as a record keeping issue, would like to hear what everybody else is saying.
I'm in complete agreement with that. I mean, there's no way anybody could have taken over this patient's care looking at the evaluation the way it is right now. It's missing every essential element of documentation. He's also saying that he asked for consent. He, you know, is this okay? Is this okay? None of that is documented. You know, it's missing so much in there that, you know, I feel like that's like a very big problem.
I agree with you. And the fact that it wasn't finished until after she canceled and just kind of wrapped it up with, that shouldn't even have been in this note. It should have been a different note, right? That's a separate interaction with this patient, not this one. I appreciate that we were told that he's taking it upon himself and he's using AI to help him with his documentation. But if he doesn't know what's supposed to be in there, the AI is not going to necessarily help him. I think this note is missing so much of what's required to be in an eval note. So that's my biggest concern, is that he diagnosed with muscle weakness. There's no muscle test. So the diagnosis and the billing alone are not substantiated by his documentation.
I agree with everything that's been said. I'd like to believe that nothing untoward happened in that room, but we don't know. based on the notes. We don't know what happened because there's nothing documented at all. And the fact that it was a week later before any note was even written is very, very disturbing to me. Mm-hmm. And this feels to me like, I need to get a note in because the patient quit. And so, you know, to me, I strongly suspect something did happen that led that. And this, the week that happened between the note and the treatment, to me, is evidence of this. So I think we need to at least send this to an informal hearing. I don't think we can make a decision today on this. And that would be my motion.
Second that. And then are there additional investigative materials that we will need in the informal hearing?
I would like to see the medical records, you know, that occurred as a result of the emergency room, the whatever there are, if they're available.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we could get those, and those show that sometime after 3:27, she went to the emergency room for problems with her knee, I'm going to have some serious questions for the licensee.
I would additionally like to see more samples of Dr. Dungarani's documentation, additional evaluations and treatment notes.
How many evaluations and treatment notes would you like me to subpoena?
I think at least three.
Three records?
Mm-hmm.
That include an initial evaluation and follow-up visits?
Correct.
Okay.
Preferably some progress notes being mixed in there.
Okay.
Yep. Okay, so we have a motion and a second with additional investigative information requested. Any other discussion or needs for this case? Okay, then I think we're ready to call a vote.
Okay, it has been moved and seconded to move case 2330 Jitin Dugarani PT to an informal hearing and request additional investigation and records from the patient's follow-up care, as well as a minimum of three additional treatment records from Dr. Dungarani. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastia?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
That motion passes.
May I ask a question? The records that you want me to request, the three records from Mr. Dugarati's practice, do you want those pulled from the same time period that this patient was seen? I see Mr. Greer nodding yes. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So Dr. Dungarani and Ms. Shakar, the board staff will be in touch with you for next steps.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And CA, I will be in touch with you to ascertain the method in which I can obtain the additional records for your follow-up visits to urgent care.
Okay, yes, I could easily email those to you.
Okay, I will follow up with you.
Great. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we are at 9:00 and we have an informal hearing scheduled for right now. And so I want to just quickly check to see if our